So good afternoon. This is the Design Commission for today's date, December-ish, 17th-ish, 2015. We're about to enter 16. And I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff, Tim Heron, and you can introduce yourself when you're in your first agenda. The members of the commission here today are Tad Savinar, Don Ballester, Julie Livingston, Jeff Simpson, and David Wark, myself. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. I'm going to read the type three after the staff briefing discussion. So, Tim, you want to start with, are there any items of interest first, and then we can go into the briefing?
Yes, I have something interesting. So really quickly, I wanted to...
That would be of interest to us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a given. Tim Heron, Bureau of Development Services. And before I let BPS's Mark Raggett take over for a short briefing on some kind of big picture concepts, because we do have a very full agenda today, I just wanted to prompt, we have not heard from all commissioners about their attendance in January. That causes me alarm because we do not have a quorum on January 7th at the moment. So at that prompting, I have had Kelly has printed out our attendance list. I wanted to make sure we just didn't miss any emails. So this is a good chance to catch you while you're here. If you've responded, I apologize. We'll walk that around the room and make sure if you could just fill that out and double check what your availability is. Kelly printed it out through March. Is that correct, Kelly? Further than that, great. And I'll just make sure that you visually see that, and then we'll take that back and track it. And so we've just been super busy, and I want to make sure we don't have a problem on the 7th of January. Yeah, so we could get into details, but just for instance, Commissioner Livingston has a conflict for one item on the 7th, so she can't sit for that item, which means we're down another commissioner. So that's kind of where the minutia behind it is. We'll let you know when we don't have a quorum, and just let us know when you're available, and we'll go from there. That's all I have.
All right, Mark, you'd like to start up.
Try and talk fast again. Thanks for having me. I'm Mark Raggett. I'm with the Bureau of Planning, Sustainability, and the Urban Design Studio. And I'm here to talk about another, like Tim said, a big idea, a big concept that's coming out of the Central City 2035 plan. I understand you guys have a very busy schedule, so I'm going to try and talk fast. I tend to talk fast anyway. So please slow me down. You can stop me. It's okay. I've gotten used to it if I start going a little too fast. Before I get into the Green Loop presentation, I think there's a little piece of swag in front of you on this big idea that you can refer to as I go through this. I know it's dark. But before I get into that, I want to go over just a little bit about where we're at with the Central City 2035 plan in general, because there is a big effort going on upstairs on the 7th floor that is updating the 1988 Central City plan. That is a major undertaking. It has been a multi-year process. We have kind of gone around the Central City in quadrants. I think you guys, we have been down here at sort of regular intervals on the quadrant to update you on the progress there and some of the big design ideas and what's coming out of that. So that the quadrant planning process has completed itself. So we are now in the process, and I just brought just a few of the few stacks of volumes we're working on right now that you will be privy to in the not too distant future on the Central City plan and a whole bunch of detail there. We're planning on coming back to the commission on that. So just on process and the big project, I just want to throw some dates up there for you. We do have reserved time with this commission on March 3rd and 17th for a discussion draft, which will come out in early February. And we'll be down here talking to you about detailed sort of, well, we're talking about a lot of things, but with specific regard to some code proposals and detailed code sections that sort of are relevant to this group and this commission's work. In June, we also have time reserved with this commission to kind of come back after that discussion draft phase of work and sort of working through what we've heard through the public process and outreach. We'll come back with a proposed draft in June in the summer with this commission and talk about kind of what we've heard and what changes we made to the document before it goes on to recommend a draft and then on to City Council. Some other, and I apologize at the top of the slide there is a little cut off, but we do have some other design guideline work that is just getting started and underway now. Two historic design guideline pieces, one for Skidmore, which we were trying to complete sort of a document, a set of design guidelines for the Skidmore Historic District, which was started a long time ago. It was started around in the 2000s. It was part of a larger project looking at the Skidmore Historic District and how to get more redevelopment down there. We developed a set of design guidelines that made all the way to City Council and then stalled. And so we are now, it's a good document. We're going to get that set up and get that historic district set of design guidelines updated. We're also starting a new China Japantown Historic District. It's the one historic district in the Central City that does not have a set of specific design guidelines. So we're going to undertake that process starting early 2016. Following the Central City 2035 plan adoption, we have a couple big things. Most notably is that first bullet. So the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines have not had a major content update and amendment process since they were sort of developed in 1992. I was part of the cover of that. The updated document over there in 2001, they kind of got a sprucing up. They got a lot of pictures, and they got a little bit of wordsmithing sort of content changes. But wordsmithing sort of changes, that kind of stuff, but not a lot of serious content changes. So this update to the fundamental design guidelines will follow Central City 2035, we think, roughly in the 2017 time period, and that'll be a big one. We will be down here with this commission a lot, and with BDS staff, Tim Kara, et cetera, working through sort of that new set of design guidelines. And that could have effect, a dramatic effect, or I'll hope for a dramatic effect, we'll say that, on a lot of the other subsequent design guideline documents that affect the other districts of the Central City. Most notably Lloyd District, which needs to be updated. That also goes back to the early 90s, I think 1993, as well as Central East Side, just to pick two. There's another historic district document on there, which is part of the Southeast Quadrant Plan, so we're also looking to update the Grand Avenue Historic District Design Guidelines set as well. So that's kind of some process, kind of what's coming. So in early part of next year, we'll come back down here for a few meetings at least to talk through some of the code proposals and how we're implementing the goals and policies of the new Central City 2035 plan. And then subsequent to that discussion, in the next year or so, we'd be coming down here for a pretty engaged set of conversations around the fundamental design guidelines, if not some other topics as well. Sound good so far? Big ideas, and that little thing that gets cut off right in the corner in the ceiling up there says big ideas. We have six of them in the Central City 2035 plan right now. I came down to talk to this group. It's also worked cut off at the top or cut off at the bottom. Sorry about that. So as number six says, street hierarchy and development character. I was down here, I think, a month or two ago, talking about sort of trying to be a little more intentional with all the streets we have in the Central City. We got 40% of our land areas in the streets. We sort of have had a one-size-fits-all approach to their success so far, and we're looking to kind of diversify the set of experiences we have in the Central City. So I had a little talk on that. When we come back early part of next year, there are some specific code regulations in here that we're going to want to get your feedback on. Talk to a little bit about
so
on that one.
Mark, on that, we had some comments, right,
on all
of those. What happened to those comments?
Well, we heard your comments. We are working on your comments. We're also trying to coordinate with the mixed-use zones. You also had comments for similar regulations, the mixed-use zones project. We're trying to coordinate with those teams and make sure that we are all sort of moving ahead together on that. Okay. So those are all getting worked on, David.
Okay.
And you're going to have several, probably many more bites of the apple on those regulations.
So, but you don't have anything today?
Not today.
Okay.
No. We'll come back early 2016. No. I want to talk to you about number five there, this green loop concept, which refers to that the hand of the one pager that you should have in front of you, which is another big idea, a pretty exciting kind of new idea, new linear park, new linear open space for the whole Central City. And again, this is sort of this came out of the very beginning of the Central City update process and sort of some work of an urban design subcommittee that was put together to kind of think about the whole Central City and sort of where is it going over the next 25 years. So it's a big idea that kind of would touch the whole Central City and sort of be a roughly 6-mile linear park, potentially a game changer. It's kind of built on a lot of things we have now. It would kind of create a new place and a new way for Portlanders who live here, who work here, who are coming here, as well as visitors to kind of experience our Central City and move around it. It's built on the west side. We have the park blocks. So it's not a wholly new idea on the west side. We've had a lot of planning efforts that have sort of thought about how to more powerfully connect the park blocks. They're pretty well connected now, but they could be a lot more powerfully connected now.
On the east side, it's about maybe adding a lot of open space and creating some new open spaces, not park boxed, but kind of creating sort of a similar sort of set of experience that we have on the west side already. And how to combine those and maybe turn those into maybe a signature, iconic civic space. There's a bunch of reasons to do this. The heading up there that's getting a little lost is offering healthy choices. That figure you see is headed the wrong direction, right? We want to turn that person around and move them, head them the other way, away from dementia, away from diabetes, away from high disease. One way to do that is to try and make it easier for that person to kind of make a healthy choice. Take a walk at lunch, kind of go for a jog maybe, get on a bike ride. Think about a different way to get to work. So we're trying to kind of avoid, we know now that getting humans out and sort of able to kind of participate, recreate, sort of move around physically leads to a lot of improved productivity, happier lives, and sort of healthier outcomes. The Portland plan, we know that we have a lot of access to parks issues in the central city. That's really on the east side of the river. The west side is pretty well served, but we know that we have a growing population on this side of the river as well. How can we add more park space, improve the parks we have, get more on the west side, as well as think strategically and really carefully about the east side and how to kind of serve that growing population over there. Active transportation, the Portland plan also has some pretty aggressive work commute targets. Right now we have about 4 or 5% people walking to work, and we have about 7.5, 7, 8% riding their bikes to work. The plan for walking is to get up to about 9% if we can. I think 7, 8, 9% walking and about 25% riding bikes. So that means we got to cater to the bike riders who are commuting right now. We need to improve that system, improve safety, but we also need to maybe appeal to a much broader cross-section of the population. How do we get people who are not commuting, walking or biking right now, how can we get them to think about it in the future? And that's for all these people here. So we have a population of people who are already active, leading healthy lifestyles, et cetera. They are young, they are aging, they're getting older. How do we think about this intergenerationally? How do we think about the people who are here now and the people who are coming, and how can we make the central city a very comfortable place for all those people? This concept is based on, and I apologize for the lightness of the slide. We have an existing river loop, really, that kind of goes from Hawthorne to Steele with the new Tillicum Crossing Bridge. This is kind of just a quick diagram that says, what about taking that loop, that experience, and expanding it about 10 blocks in roughly on both sides, closer to the interior parts of the city. And again, thinking about how to connect it. It's not just a self-serving circulating loop. It's only really as good as how we can get access to it. So we've got to think about connections, approaching it from the community, surrounding community of the central city, how to get to that loop and onto the river. It's also potentially, we could think about it like the transit mall for open space. It could be the organizing framework for the future development of the central city. You see in yellow there just kind of a build-out of the central city. That's not a 25-year build-out. That's kind of the future 50-100-year build-out of the central city. But you can see that we still have a long way to go, central east side in the Lloyd District especially. It's just getting started, and we have a lot of development potential in the central parts of the central city, PSU, and, of course, down in South Waterfront. This commission, I'm sure, is very familiar with those development activities there. So how can this loop, this linear open space, be that organizing framework for the future of the central city? We also know that a lot of our cultural attractions, historic attractions, sort of major destinations, are not right on the waterfront. So we have that sort of trail experience, that neat way for people to kind of circulate, navigate the central city, but it's really tight to the water. And most of our major cultural attractions are, frankly, off the water, with just a few exceptions like OMSI. So how can we get more people who like to use that river trail, that experience of sort of being in a very safe, comfortable environment, and get them a lot closer to maybe a lot more destinations where they're trying to go? With their families, with their children, with their parents, et cetera. Again, how can we think about a broader range of people using not only sort of the central city and not only walking, biking, or jogging, but maybe just create a neat place for people to go and hang out and watch people move around them. So a neat place to go in on a Sunday morning to meet your family and sort of sit down, have a cup of coffee, watch some of the city go by. Thinking about commuters, how could this loop function as a part of the commuter sort of system? How could this, for some of these further out sort of experiences, how could the loop and part of the loop be a part of a larger trip that includes transit, that may include driving, but maybe a part of a different kind of experience? So going down to OMSI, seeing the latest exhibits at OMSI, and then sort of meeting some family and friends and going for a walk on the east side of this loop alignment. Just a quick rendering to show you some of the things we're thinking about. I think this rendering is in that handout that I passed out. So again, space for sort of active transportation, bikes, wheeled vehicles over here, enhanced pedestrian space, perhaps in some segments, maybe a jogging trail. So jogging, the loop alignment right now at 6 or 7 miles is about the length of a 10K. So we're thinking that maybe this could be part of a sort of run the loop sort of annual experience, which could be pretty fun, pretty cool. And get another way, yet another healthy alternative, another choice. I should say, pause here, and again, I am here talking to you from BPS, from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. It has been a multi-agency effort, so this idea came out of the Central City Plan process. We have had a lot of participation from the Bureau of Transportation, from the Portland Parks and Recreation, and the Bureau of Environmental Services, most notably, and to a little bit lesser extent, the Portland Development Commission. So we're working with our agency partners to identify issues and challenges along the way as we refine the concept. Like any good planning project, it's got some good key objectives. I talked about improving health a little bit. How can we make it easier to go out and get to a nearby open space? It builds on the sort of connect and create parks sort of idea that are just right outside the door here. Portland has a long history of, you know, great park systems that are connected by pedestrian pathways or boardwalks or other sort of powerful, sort of easily to understand, intuitive connections. It's a new way to support businesses. So again, thinking about our business districts and how to, again, bring markets of people who are kind of perhaps not right in the center of the business district, how to get them closer more easily, more safely, more of the year. So how can we get people closer to the center of our downtown where our activity is? We did a great job in the 80s of creating Pioneer Courthouse Square and the Transit Mall, which are on 5th or 6th Avenue. They're 5 or 6 blocks away from the river. So we have the river sort of experience in that market of people that's out there comfortable. How can we get them closer to all the businesses and shops and destinations in the middle of downtown? Extending pathways, we have a sort of, we are known as a signature walking city. This loop sort of builds on that strength and sort of connects the walking, creates a lot more walking opportunities. The riding I talked about a little bit. So this big orange bar here, this piece of this is the so-called interested but concerned bike riders. We have a lot of commuters that are over here right now. Some of them are in this image. This orange bar, the interested but concerned, our understanding is that they are, they're interested in riding a bike, but they need it to be safer. They need to be more intuitive. They need to be maybe not as rushed, and they need to kind of have an understanding of how they're going to get back. So the couplet system may not work as well. They need a safer space. It needs to be wider, and it needs to be kind of in a trail-like environment to get them on those bikes. And if you recall that Portland Plan target, we have some pretty bold aspirations for sort of we need to really up the people using active transportation, especially commute to work, but potentially also just to get around town. Growing in Bold Green, the last one, again, is a way for them sort of cementing its reputation as sort of a living laboratory for sustainable building practices, low carbon development, et cetera. The Green Loop could provide additional habitat, sort of habitat canopy for native species of birds and pollinators. It could create green spaces, signature stormwater management systems, sort of connecting and sort of taking that green experience all the way around the central city. A few of these diagrams, this is out in the public realm. So again, I've talked mostly about these. Physical separation is key. More trees where we can get them, more green. Opportunities here for this commission might be interested in sort of thinking about creative furnishings and sort of, you know, how can we create different spaces to gather? How can we show off local character? And then think about that multi-use path. Again, walking, biking, and jogging sort of all the way around in one pretty fluid loop. There's sort of, this is just the idea that we recognize that the whole city is not park blocks, right? So this experience we think we can continue all the way around the central city, but not necessarily literally like park blocks. And as it travels through the different districts of town, we think every district should have a big metal squid in it. Just kidding, making sure you're listening. Yeah. So everywhere doesn't need to have a squid, but we think that some of these, this is happening all over the world, and there are lots of ways to show off local character, local businesses, local skills, local sort of entrepreneurship, and kind of create a really varied experience. Give more people more reasons to use the alignment. This is the Syracuse, New York, the connected corridor. All they did was use kind of a target fire engine red that they used in the public realm as well as buildings, so you kind of know you're on the route because you always can see this kind of same red color wherever you go. I think using sort of seasonal, given how much everything grows here, it's all wet out there right now, using sort of seasonal color might be another neat way to show off local character and local flavor. This is a Denali bench. So we have a lot of businesses in the Central East Side that sort of actually build this kind of infrastructure and how to showcase some of their skill sets and their products. We're not the only city doing this, probably no surprise. So the two top ones, this is the 606 Trail in Chicago. So this is an elevated, this is Chicago's concrete answer to the High Line in New York. So the High Line is another sort of press in here. The 606, again, is an active transportation corridor about 2 to 3, 2.5 miles long, 12 points up to it. It's an elevated sort of abandoned railway, but has all those active transportation sort of greening sort of aspects that I talked about already. Indianapolis Cultural Trail is the big sort of precedent here. This is in Indianapolis, again, about a 6 to 7 mile loop connecting all the cultural attractions in Indianapolis. Big success story, walking, biking, jogging, et cetera. And then the two lower ones, I apologize, are there to suggest is Vancouver, the lower left, New York on the right. There may be interim ways to get there. We may not be able to go full build out or for the whole thing like one of these two, but we could just begin to carve off space either temporarily with relatively inexpensive landscape planners, art boxes, et cetera, just to kind of begin to take the space and begin to feel like what the experience might be on a temporary basis. And then as we move forward, there may be adding more green, adding more trees, moving parking, et cetera, creating more pedestrian refuges, those kinds of moves later. Few renderings. This is Southwest Carruthers right at the building here, kind of out the windows. Pretty steep hill. Making the grades, making some of these connections are frankly look like challenges today. They're kind of daunting, but they could actually be pretty neat opportunities for Hill Park, a la Lombard Street in San Francisco. So maybe it's a Hill Park where you can sit and sort of enjoy a view, get a nice view of South Waterfront, the changing landscape down there, as well as sort of watching kids kind of move in a sort of snake-like pattern up and down the hill. International schools to the left in this rendering. And then Central East Side, how can we sort of think about the active transportation and sort of the mixed-use change that's coming right now as we speak to that district. On one side of the loop alignment, this is 6th Avenue potentially, and on the other side, think about improvements that could enhance freight mobility, access, et cetera. So thinking about that sort of holistically in the entire right-of-way alignment. The vehicle for the public conversation on the loop so far has, again, been the Central City 2035 plan process, and this is the quadrants that you may recognize diagram. We started in north-northeast, Lloyd District and Laura Bynum in purple. We went to the west, this mustard color over here, which is the whole west side, and then we just finished up with southeast and the central east side in blue there. For the loop conversation here, we're in this magenta bar. We're sort of in the coalition building phase right now, so we are kind of getting the word out about the loop. We're working with our agency partners to refine the concept. We're doing some research. There's a lot of interest at PSU in sort of doing research pieces, cost, benefit, equity on the loop, and sort of how can it improve sort of outcomes for all Portlanders. We're working towards a binder that's kind of like an implementation plan, so as this thing moves forward and as it gives more steam, we can sort of be ready with sort of a binder that has a lot of information about issues around traffic operations or how can we meet grades or what the cost of some of these items might be. The bigger ticket items, this relies on a few bridges. Fortunately, the ped bike bridges this is built on are sort of already in planning documents or, frankly, ODOT facility plans already. We've had a lot of public outreach, and this is some of the just a snapshot of some of the outreach we've had. A lot of kind of growing interest in this project over the years. Intertwine, the AI Urban Design Panel, who we were just at a week or two ago, Go Lloyd, community groups like City Repair, Better Blocks, we've been to a lot of lunchtime sort of brown bags, and we've been asked to come to several design firms, landscape architecture, starting with landscape architecture, not surprisingly. Been to a lot of public agencies and directors, and we've been invited to a lot of events, most notably, and you see some of them across the bottom there. It was the centerpiece of the policymakers ride last year. We were at Design Week 2014 for Pechacucha on this thing, and we've also been active the Oregon Active Transportation Summit. So we've been invited to kind of talk about the concept. There's been kind of a slow drip growing sort of amount of excitement about it. And that is feeding into early 2016. I apologize for the header. This sort of scribble up here says 2016 events. We have three to tell you about. One is the so-called Campus Connection, which is basically a PSU set of projects and classes that's looking at a connection. The loop alignment basically along the park blocks, roughly, between PNCA now up here and PSU down here. They have sort of a series of classes built around this in fall. This term right now is looking at planning and concept development, et cetera, about what the loop could be. That gets handed off to engineering students in the winter to kind of test. So here's some ideas. What does this actually mean? How hard is this going to be? How much parking, how much travel lane, et cetera? How much pedestrian space? And then spring, summer, Better Blocks is a partner to this PSU set of classes, and Better Blocks is interested in ideally implementing some of the ideas that come out of that work in the spring, summer, maybe fall of 2016. Coming up sooner in 2016 is the New Partners for Smart Growth Conference, February 11th to 14th. Some of you may have heard about that. It'll be in the Hilton Hotel. We were asked to partner with Tool Design Group out of Seattle. They have an office here in Portland to kind of do a parklet for the Green Loop. So do a little 10 by 20 foot sort of space. Mm-hmm. Right now it's called Park, and I'm sorry, you can't really read that. This is Park Your Thoughts with a hashtag. My understanding, the young people use hashtags all the time. Sounds exciting. This is kind of a thing where you can sit and look at the Central City. There'd be boards about the Green Loop, about the big ideas for Central City, and you'd be able to get on social media and sort of have active chats or conversations about that. We might do a little mock-up of what a section of the Green Loop might look like at this conference coming up on the 11th to 14th. What just came out this week is, and this scribble up here, says 2016 Design Week Competition. So the loop is now sort of a part of a big design competition that will be featured and awarded in the mid-April timeframe for Design Week, looking at marketing and branding or placemaking or both. And so this just went online. So it's pretty exciting. So this will kind of get the word out about the loop and the big idea in the Central City and sort of its future to a much broader audience. This just went out, I think just went online this week. And so very exciting. So there's a competition brief, and there's a bunch of, we provided a bunch of maps of some areas of some places along the loop that could be neat placemaking opportunities. But that's a very neat, and would be great to see all just the wide range of ideas there. But another big exciting part of this competition or an option here is marketing and branding for the Loop. So right now we've been using Green Loop as a handle. I don't expect that to be sort of the name necessarily when it's all said and done as it gets implemented. And even this one started to say Loop PDX, which is sounding a little more compelling to me as I think about it here. Everything I just showed you there, we have so-called open source. I don't think I'm using that term correctly, but we've open sourced that presentation that I just gave is available online at this website with a whole bunch of speaking points on it too. So if you're interested in giving a presentation on the Green Loop or want to share with someone, you can. There's a whole bunch of speaking points. There's also a connection to that handout I just gave you on this website as well. So there's a whole bunch more information on this from that website, and we're going to work on updating it and linking. You'll be able to find links to other related projects from this website as well, looking into the future. And that's all I got. And thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark. So anybody got questions?
Comments?
Yeah, the Loop's fantastic. Really exciting. I have a question about the not exciting part. When you were talking about the process that you're going through with the Central City Guidelines, a few of us, and I won't intend to speak for the commission in any way, but a few of us have mentioned in conversation that maybe the guidelines should only have 10 guidelines in them. Are you doing that kind of review, or is it just going to be a kind of moving some commas and some words around?
For the fundamentals?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be that kind of review, Ted. It'll be the whole thing. Yeah.
And the intent is to potentially scale it way back and make it simpler? And
I think we're going to look at a whole range of options and probably some that include scaling it back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we'll be involved in
that. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I was here in 2001, just a little anecdote on that, we had to go, the BPS projects had to go at the end of your guys' busy, your busy sort of lineup and your busy agendas. So I was usually coming in about 10 o'clock at night. I mean, this would be a lot of meetings. But it was very late, and there'd be only a few, of course, commissioners here. But it was a lot of meetings talking through images, captions for images, the guideline language, the background text. There'll be a robust set of meetings, and we'll have to figure out how to fit those conversations into your very busy agendas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you talked about Campus Connection and the Design Week competition.
Yep.
Do you have a cast of consultants that you're working with right now during this planning phase, or will that all come later through this work that you're proposing in 2016?
So this is a concept. We're not quite the consultant phase yet. We are talking to a lot of prospective and I think very becoming more and more interested consultants, but no, we're not to the consultant phase yet. The PSU work is student work right now. It's student projects. So we're looking at, and again, some of them as part of their MERP workshop project, so looking to where they're going to go in the future and how do they do these planning projects and how they work with consultants, but we're not in the consultant phase yet. This is still in the concept phase. We're working towards making it a set of projects that would definitely involve a whole bunch of consultants, but not there yet. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Anybody else? I have a question or two.
Yeah.
Did you mention PBOT?
I did.
Okay. I
just wanted to make sure. Oh, yeah.
I thought I didn't hear that clearly. So there are several private efforts going on in the Rose Quarter and the post office site. Are you coordinating with those groups?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And are those ideas making their way into the master plan?
So just speaking, I was involved in the most recently in the post office, the framework plan site that PDC led, and the Green Loop and the connection from the Broadway Bridge down through the post office site and connecting with the North Park blocks was a big part of the sort of organization of that development scheme. So, which is just, at a framework plan level right now, but they do have it on their diagram, and they are thinking about it moving forward into the master plan stage. You guys will probably be able to see it in a lot more detail.
Is that in the Rose Quarter plan too? This idea might have come
on. The Rose Quarter, northeast quadrant sort of was moving at about the same time as the Central City. So I don't think it actually had a handle like Green Loop yet at that time, because those quadrant plans were a little closer together maybe than the subsequent quadrant plan. So it is accommodated, David, in the Rose Quarter, through the Rose Quarter, but it doesn't have necessarily the specific handle there. And again, the stage right now, we don't have the final alignment. We think working with our agency partners, we have the best candidates, but we need to have more public process around those. We think we know the issues and the opportunities in the Central City, but we don't have the specific alignment yet.
Okay. And on the east side, you said about 10 blocks in. Did you identify?
We're in the sixth, seventh-ish, sort of, roughly, zone on the Central East side. And again, we don't have a winner there yet. There are definitely camps that like one or both of those, or maybe another one nearby. Sure. But six or seven is what we've been looking at.
Okay. All right. That's all I've got. Anybody else?
I want to reinforce what Tad just mentioned on the fundamental design guidelines.
Yep.
There's so many guidelines that are virtually meaningless. You can
yep.
find whatever you want in them or
yep.
nothing in them.
Yep.
And it's confusing to everybody.
Yep.
And
yep.
consequently, they pretty much get ignored.
Okay.
We seldom address them
yes.
here at the Design Commission, and they really should be something we address. But
right. So
just too many and they're too confusing.
Yep. So we've heard that pretty loudly, yes,
oh,
for
good.
Sure, for a while now. So I think
yeah.
definitely we'll be looking at improving those and working with you to make that a better set, yeah. more useful. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Okay. No other questions. Do you have any final parting words?
No. Good luck.
Okay.
You have a busy agenda.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.